If you build a true agency where you're hiring people and you have human capital, that is how you get leverage in how building a service-based business can actually give you freedom. Hey there, how's it going?
Good, man. How you been?
Doing good. It's good to catch up. I've been looking forward to this podcast. We haven't caught up in a while because we've been traveling, and so we haven't done it in like 2 weeks, but I'm excited to do more of these podcasts with you, hopefully every other week, and discuss what's going on in media, what's working in our businesses, different ideas that we saw. The podcast that we did before together, 5 newsletter ideas you can start this weekend, I think that's like our second most downloaded podcast ever. And that was just me and you talking about ideas and stuff, kind of riffing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'd be really interested to see if anybody took those and ran with them. I don't know if we've gotten any response on that yet, but if anybody did take one of those ideas and is experimenting with it, let us know, and happy to weigh in.
Yeah, I got one email I got to get back to. Sorry about that, whoever sent me that. But I think the email where we use for the podcast is just matt@newsletteroperator.com. It's probably the best one to use. And also I'll send that to Ryan, or I'll add him there. But I wanted to tease the content a little bit today. We got two or three topics to discuss. So the first one is about courses and information products. So I did a course recently. I generated about 105K in 4 days for that course. So we're going to break down how I did that and how you can market your course. And then the second thing, Ryan and I'm going to get into a little bit, is how to use newsletters to get and keep more clients for your agency. So if you have a service agency, this also applies to information products too, but how to use a newsletter to grow that. I think it's one of the most powerful tools out there. But before we get into that, we have 2 sponsors for the podcast. And these are our first sponsors ever for the podcast. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about them before we get started. The first is a sponsor I've been working with for a long time. It's called Refine. Over 100 newsletters are using Refine to grow on autopilot. I believe the best place to get new subscribers for your newsletters from other newsletters. And that's why newsletters like Morning Brew and The Hustle use Refine to grow. Refine is a daily newsletter of over 400,000 subscribers, and they promote other newsletters with targeted and performance-based ads. The way it works is really simple. You just go to their ad page, which I'll talk to you about in a second, and you enter your newsletter URL, then you set your CPA and your budget. The most common CPA for the Refine ad platform is about $1 to $3 per subscriber. And then after you set that up, you can get new high-quality newsletter subscribers on autopilot. It literally takes less than 5 minutes to set up. It's the easiest paid acquisition source I've ever set up before. And it's one of the best ways to start using paid ads to grow your list. There's no code or complicated setup required. You can download the subscribers you get from Refine ads, or you can integrate them with your ESP in a couple clicks. And our listeners get a $25 ad credit when you spend $100 or more on Refine ads. So if you want to test this, go to refine.com/ads to get started, or we'll link it down below in the episode description. The next sponsor is Sponsy. This is a tool a lot of our clients have used to manage and organize and save time on their sponsorships. Sponsy helps media companies cut their sponsorship operation times by up to 40 hours per week. If you're tired of using Google Sheets and sending dozens of emails back and forth with clients to get approvals for sponsorships, to send reports, listen to this. It's really important. You know, managing inventory across multiple ad products and publications is hard, and it's very time consuming, but now there is a better way with Sponsy. Sponsy allows media companies to easily track their ad inventory and work with clients to get ads approved and to get reports delivered automatically. Sponsy connects directly with your email service provider like Beehive, Campaign Monitor, and many more, and it sends reports automatically to advertisers. That's one of the special features about this. You don't have to do that manually anymore. A lot of successful newsletters like the TLDR newsletter, The Peak, Stack Marketer, The Rundown, and many more use Sponsy to streamline their ad management and to save countless hours per week. You can try Sponsy today and retire your Google Sheets and manual reports. Just go to getsponsy.com to get started or to book a free demo. They have a free trial too. We'll also link that down below in the description. And the website is spelled getsponsy.com. How did that do, Ryan?
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, for what it's worth, I've used Sponsy, and it is great, super easy to use when I've purchased newsletter ads. So yeah, do highly recommend that one from experience.
Yeah, we're trying to only get sponsors that we actually have used. I've bought Reify ads before when I worked at The Hustle and for my newsletter with some clients. I haven't used Sponsy, but I've had a lot of clients who use it. I don't really do ad sales, but everybody I've talked to about it has heard great things or said great things about the product. And when you have a daily or sometime a week newsletter and you're selling two ads per newsletter and there's dozens of sponsors, it gets really hard to manage all that crap. So yeah. Having a tool to streamline the process makes sense. But enough about the sponsors. Let's get into the first topic. What a good place to be to start with the core stuff, Ryan.
Let's talk about it. I want to hear everything about this. And I know that you're excited to share. So
as I do, or before I do, I got my Chihuahua who just refuses to leave me alone. So he's going to come on the chair here. Bear with me. Yeah. So I did this course called the Newsletter Growth System in February of this year. And it's the first course I've ever done. So I'm learning a lot and I wanted to share what I've learned and kind of be an open book about this. So it's a cohort-based course that we did over a 5-week period. I limited it to 100 students and we had about 113 students enroll. I didn't close the cart and I had to close the cart manually and I didn't close it at the right time. So we over-enrolled a little bit, but that's okay because it was more revenue and it didn't hurt us in any way. And then the price for this course was $999. And the total revenue generated from this course was $105,000. We sold some, I think about 20 to 25 tickets at a small discount of about $750, but I think 75 plus units of the course were sold at $999, $1,000. So those are the numbers. And of course, when I went public, I think an important thing to note is like when I went public with the course and started promoting it publicly, we sold out of those seats that were remaining. I think it was about 68 seats at the time when I went public with the course. I sold out of those in 4 days. And I want to talk about the launch of how I did that. Because I think anytime you can generate a lot of revenue that quickly, that's really awesome. However, to be totally fair, I had to then deliver the course for another 5 weeks afterwards. So it wasn't really, I made that amount of money in 4 days. It takes time, but that will be our headline for this podcast, which will hopefully get some downloads.
Yeah, let's get tactical. Like what were the channels you used to push the course to promote it? And then I don't know if you have these numbers readily available, but like what was the breakdown? Like I'm sure you got a lot of conversions from the newsletter. I'm sure your Twitter did some work as well. Were you tracking that? And like do you have any insight into what channels worked best?
I do and I don't, but it wasn't a lot of channels. So I think the thing that helped the most, all of it came from the newsletter. And if I didn't have this email list, this newsletter wouldn't have happened. So I've been building up that newsletter for the past year now. And I think at the time of the course, it was about 12 or 13,000 subscribers. And so I promoted them in a couple of ways. I'll just talk about when I did the public promotion. I did like a launch and I said, basically there are 68 spots available. And I talked about all the benefits of the course and why you should join. And having that scarcity and urgency to sign up and the limited amount of spots really helped me sell out quickly. So to just walk you through my launch, here's what I did. I'm not saying this is the perfect launch. I'm just saying this is how I did it, and it might be helpful to those who haven't done this before. So how I sold Growth System, let's see here. I announced the cohort to the public. It sold out in about 4 days. The launch worked like this. So January 18th, I sent out one email to one segment of my list. That segment was about 5,000 subscribers, and I picked the most engaged segment. Are the most engaged subscribers on my list, the top 5,000 who were the most engaged, highest open rate, highest click-through rate. I didn't want to send a broadcast to my entire list because I didn't feel that was needed to sell 68 spots. So I sent it out to 5K. I can share all of the copy for this, but we won't cover it now because I would just be reading that out. But I sent people to a long-form sales page that was hosted on a Beehive page. I think the long-form copy sales page is a really important part of this promotion and any course. And I see a lot of people miss that. If I were to put this copy in like a Google Doc, I think it's 10 or 12 pages, maybe a little bit longer. And I see a lot of courses out there that are like, it's like a website with like 3 or 4 sections and that's it. And I don't know how you feel, Ryan, but I feel like that's a big mistake. And I feel like when you're selling an information product, you need to have a lot of information and copy to actually sell that product and persuade people.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at really anybody doing this at scale, they all kind of follow that framework of like a very long sales page, tons of testimonials, like all the testimonials that they've been able to gather from everyone they've ever worked with. It seems like, multiple kind of sales letters addressing really any objection. And yeah, you shared the one that you did with me, and I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, that's still live. The exact copy is live. I just have a wait list there now. So you can go to my website, newsletteroperator.com, and click on the growth system link in the menu, and you can read that sales page if you want. So I don't think it's the best sales page, but it's long form, and that's better than short form. So that was the first promotion I did on Thursday morning. And then immediately after I sent that email, I posted a long tweet on Twitter, which is where I have the most followers. And it had similar copy to that email. It was an announcement post. I'm not sure if that's live anymore, but I can try and share the copy for that if someone wants to read it. And so those were the two like broadcasts that I did. The next kind of broadcast I did is I send my newsletter every Saturday morning. So in the intro and the top of that newsletter, I did maybe a 2-paragraph promotion about the course. I didn't make the whole newsletter about the course, but I promoted that at the intro, and I promoted that at the bottom of the newsletter briefly. And that was my secondary email promotion. I thought I was going to have to do a lot more emails to sell this, but because it was limited to only 100 people and I had 68 seats left at the time, those three things were essentially able to sell out of the course. And one thing I want to emphasize is I focused on the urgency. And so every single new time I mentioned it, I talk about how many spots were left. I didn't do any additional one-off tweets about the course, but I would take that announcement tweet that I did, and I quote tweeted that like 3 or 4 times, maybe 5 times. And the quote tweet was just like, now there are 50 spots left. Now there's 40 spots left. Now there's 10 spots left. Now there's 2 spots left. And just reminding people like, this is going to sell out. There's real scarcity there. That's what did a good chunk of the selling. Obviously, you still have to have some people actually want to, you know, learn from. And of course, people actually want to take, but the urgency and the scarcity there, I reinforced with every single promotion, and I made that very clear.
Yeah, I mean, that's all. It's awesome that you're able to sell out just with those few channels and that launch strategy. In hindsight, like now that you've done it once and you've launched one course, anything that you would have done differently or lessons that you learned?
Yeah, well, I think I have a lot of lessons learned on the course content and the course community and how I can improve that. I don't think we'll get into all of that now, is it's kind of more fun to talk about marketing. And but I mean, the version 2 of the actual course content is going to be very, very different. I kind of would use this analogy, like if you've written a newsletter before, or if you've written like an article before or a blog post, think about like the first blog post you ever did and think about like your 100th blog post. They're way different. That's how your first course is going to look from the second course. So I would encourage people who are doing a cohort-based course, get the first one out there as soon as possible. Keep it limited. Almost, I would probably call it a beta. I wouldn't even call it like the thing yet. I would just call it, this is the beta course. Keep it very limited to 50 or 100 people. And then just get that done as fast as possible. Because version 2, after you get feedback from students, will be so much better. I did get really good feedback. We got over like 15 or 20 testimonials and a really good MPS score too. But still, the V2 of the course is going to be way better. So I have a lot of learnings there I'll share later.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about it. Anything else, any other tips on launching for folks that are kind of going about this for the first time?
I think a couple of key lessons are you got to build the email list beforehand. If you build a wait list for the course, that's even better. I didn't do that, but I'm building that for my second cohort. You got to send a lot of emails. In this example, I really only sent 2, but that's really not normal. Usually, if you're going to sell a cohort or any course, you're probably going to send a minimum of 6 dedicated emails about this promotion, probably more like a dozen, maybe 20. If you look at Ship 30 for 30 and other cohort-based courses, another one I like is David Perel's course, which is like, what's this course called? It's like writing, how to write.
Yeah, and then Kieran Drew as well.
Kieran Drew. I mean, what you got to do is basically create an email address where you just subscribe to all this shit and just see what type of emails they're sending up at, going up to their launches and to their cohorts and learn from that. That's what I did. And for the next course that I do, I will probably have 7 to 10 emails all about the course that I'm going to send to my list. And I won't send it to everybody on the list, but I'll send it to a segment that is highly engaged and I'll send it to the wait list because you just have to have this constant promotion. And then once the course is sold out, then you stop promoting it and it becomes a little bit less annoying. But like, it's very normal to lose subscribers during a course promotion because of how much you're sending. And that's okay because those people want to get a fit for your product. So maybe they weren't the best person to have on your list anyways.
Yeah. It's always surprising how many emails you can send and still be effective in selling, and not just like a course, but like a membership too. Like, I was always amazed at trends. Like, I mean, we would send an email every week and we'd still have people that had been receiving all those emails that would sign up from them on like the 30th email over the course of a year. But yeah, pretty wild.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a really intuitive thing that you would think would work, but it does.
Yeah, there's a correlation between sending more emails and making more revenue from a course or launch. Basically, the more emails, the more revenue. And there's like always that correlation. There's not really a drop-off point. You would think like, okay, after 15 emails, then it starts to drop off. Like, the people I've talked to haven't seen that. And you almost have to stop yourself based off of, you know, what you feel is right for your list.
Yeah.
Because the more you send, the more revenue, but you may have more churn in your list. And that's why someone like Mark Abid and Matt Paulson, they send a ton of email. And Matt, when he came on the podcast like a week or two ago, he wouldn't even share like exactly how much email he sent, because more emails lead to more revenue. And Matt is on the higher end of that sending schedule, or that like sending cadence.
Yeah. Yeah. The funny thing about like a promotion or a launch too, is like almost invariably your biggest volume is going to be, and maybe this is intuitive, but the first day, so like the announcement of the launch, and then the last day, so like when you're announcing. And so what tends to be a good strategy, especially if it's like a discount or like a limited time offer, or constrained by like spots, like in your case, Matt, like sending like literally like three or four emails on the last day, just like as reminders. All of those emails are, in my experience, usually pretty high volume in terms of conversions. So you send like one that's like, hey, reminder, that's the last day. And then you send one that's like 10 minutes before the discount or promotion ends. And a few in between, if you want to get crazy with it. But that one that's 10 minutes before is invariably really high volume in terms of conversion, and one of the biggest emails that you'll send.
That's a really good point. And I've learned that, but I think it's not obvious to a lot of people. And I think having 3 to 4 emails on the last day promotion is like a minimum must have. You could potentially have 5 or 6, but 3 to 4 minimum is a really good rule. Yeah, a lot of people would think, oh, 1 is all I need, 2 is all I need, but it's like 3 to 4 is what you need. And it's an important thing to note is like the email copy for these emails, especially when they're kind of these final last chance, last call emails, you don't need to have long email copy. It can be just 2 or 3 sentences. A sentence. Absolutely.
Yep.
And that will often have a higher click-through rate to your sales page or your video sales page or your webinar, whatever you're using, than a long email. And also, I feel that, I don't know if I have data on this, but I feel that when you send someone a lot of like really short emails that don't take long to read, it's going to piss them off a lot less than if you send them a bunch of like long emails that are very salesy and like talk about all the features and benefits of your product. The short ones, I think, are like easy to just like open, read it, archive it, and it's not going to bother them too much.
Yeah, that was a learning, I mean, across a lot of different verticals that we found with like promotional emails, and something that I first learned when at the Hustle and like trying to convert folks to trends, was that you can write these long stories, and if you do one really well, then it's going to convert well. But you can also just write like a paragraph that gets value props across really well. And a lot of times that will convert just as well. So like, because really like, again, like intuitively, people are going to actually get to the end and to the call to action of a shorter email, when in a lot of cases, they're just not going to read a long email. So yeah, definitely an interesting learning.
And another one is just use the PS in your email. A lot of people know this. I won't harp on it, but utilize that PS because people read that just as much as the first line of the email. So basically every email should have a PS where you say something very important or emphasize the scarcity or the urgency of the promotion. A couple of things on like the structure of the course I want to recommend. I talked to a couple of people beforehand to like give me advice on this. Jay Klaus, I did a couple coaching calls with him on how I should do the course. And I'm just speaking to cohort-based courses. And I also think I'm a believer in cohort-based courses are the best way to start, because you can sell these at a higher price point than an on-demand course. On-demand course is basically video files in an online portal. And the demand for that and like the price point for that have gone down. But cohort-based courses, it's common to find those at $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 or more price point. David Perel sells his writing course, like, I think the starting price is like $4,000 or $5,000 for that course. And it's a cohort-based course. So I like that. I like that you also get a lot of feedback from students. And like, I know every student's face and name in the course because we just had 100 people in there. And also you just have this built-in deadline, built-in scarcity that I've talked about a ton that just helps you sell a lot easier. I find that when you're selling these on-demand courses, you have to have sophisticated marketing. So you might have to have a fancy webinar or a really good VSL or an amazing sales page or lots of additional marketing emails to sell an on-demand course that has no scarcity or deadline. But when you have a cohort-based course, you have the power of urgency and scarcity on your side, and you don't need as many promotions or as complicated of a marketing process as other information products might need. I don't know if you've seen the same thing, Ryan, but that's what I've seen across a lot of different clients.
Yeah, and it serves as like a great, I would imagine it serves as a great test just for building out an on-demand course down the road, right? Like just to your point, getting all the feedback from your students, direct feedback that way, and really testing and seeing what's most valuable. And then from there, taking those learnings, building out something that's a little bit more productized, and you have the ability to sell that at a lower price point, but also sell it from an automated funnel that you can scale as you want.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to create that. If you want to do that, I think I might just keep this cohort base forever. Is there some advantages to that? But another thing I wanted to mention was just like make the first one limited, like I said before. But when you do this first cohort, because people have spent so much time with you live, it's a lot easier to solicit and get testimonials. And I think the biggest thing that sells information products and courses is testimonials. And I put a big emphasis on collecting feedback and testimonials at the end of this course. And I've collected, I think I said 15, but I think it's over 20. Might be over 25 now from a 100-person cohort. And those are going to help me tremendously when I do the next one. When I did the first course, I didn't have testimonials for the course because there was no course, right? But now I do. And that's going to be a huge asset, I think. People really overlook collecting testimonials, and you have to emphasize it. I can share about how I did that because I incentivized people to give testimonials. Would that be useful to talk about?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, I think some people may not like the strategy, but I think it's needed because if you just say, please give me a testimonial, thank you. Like it's not, you're going to get some. And of course, this all depends on if people had a great experience or not. But I think you have to incentivize it or else you're making a mistake. So back in the day, there was a great course that did a lot of revenue called consulting.com or the Consulting Accelerator from Sam Ovens. And what he did was there was a whole, Sam Ovens is the OG. And actually, he's not even the OG, but he's one of the goats, right?
Yeah.
But in that course, there was like maybe 12 modules of the course. And like there was a whole nother module that was really good and probably one of the most in-demand modules. But to get that module unlocked of the course, you had to leave a testimonial for the course. And he won the bracket up like well over 1,000 video testimonials for his course through that strategy. So I didn't do that for this, but I did something similar where I had an incentive. So at the end of the course, I had two things I wanted people to do. I wanted them to fill out a survey that included the NPS score and gave me more detailed feedback on what they liked about the course, what they didn't like, multiple choice questions, and two open-ended questions. So I incentivized that by basically saying, if you fill out the survey, takes 5 minutes and it's multiple choice, you'll be entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card. So that was one incentive to get the survey. And then for people that left a testimonial, I use Senja to collect testimonials. It's just a tool that makes it easy to collect these video or text testimonials. And I said, if you leave a testimonial, you're going to get a couple things. So everybody who leaves a testimonial will get a live bonus session with me after the course that other people don't get access to. So that's number one. Number two is if you leave a text-only testimonial, you'll get entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card randomly. Or if you leave a video testimonial, you'll get entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card randomly. And I specified that a lot less people share video testimonials, so your odds of winning will be higher if you leave a video testimonial. So that incentivizes the behavior that I want, which is I would prefer to have more videos because I think they're more impactful. So I didn't get... Still, I had a smaller percentage of videos, maybe like 25% videos versus text, but I think I had more than I would have if I didn't do that. So that is, along with having a good product, that is what helped me with my testimonials. And it cost $300, but it's well worth the investment.
I love the idea of having like the bonus module or the bonus session, because that's like, it's incentivizing people for the right reasons too, because it's like they just want more of the course, right? Like that's such a good idea.
Yeah, I think everybody can do at least that. And I don't think this is the perfect system. I'm curious to hear what you've tried. Shoot us an email or hit us up on Twitter. But that's what worked pretty well for me. And I think I'll do something like that going forward. So yeah, that's what I've learned from the course. There's more I'll probably share later if I remember it, or like especially things around the content itself. But I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah, I know that's going to be super helpful. I mean, that's invaluable lessons for people that are looking to build a course. And I mean, as you mentioned, you had so much of that volume come from the newsletter, from the email list you built. So definitely a direct tie-in with why a lot of folks are listening. And great way to monetize a newsletter is just take the information that you're providing to folks on your list. And if you can go more in depth and provide an information product or even a course like that, could be a great way to monetize.
Yeah, I think it's a must-have. If you're someone who has like an education or a niche newsletter topic and it's just ad sales, you got to have something like this in place. It's either a service, like we'll talk about in a second, or it's a course like this. Or it's a, honestly, it's not just either or. There's other things too, right? There's communities. You talked about like the newsletter to pay community funnel on Twitter recently. That's a great one too. And a lot of these things can be combined. You know, a lot of times a membership can be premium content, like a course and a community. And that might be better than just one of those things by itself.
Totally. Yeah. You can bundle it up in all sorts of ways. I mean, let's talk about services. Like, I know that's kind of something that we teased at the top of the pod as well. Like driving to services, whether you're an agency or someone who does coaching or one-on-one consulting, it's similar to, I think, the course funnel in a lot of ways, but maybe has some, I guess, like higher upside opportunities, higher investment of your own time as well, obviously in conducting a done-for-you service for somebody. But yeah, would love to. I know, Matt, you've had a lot of success specifically in earning partners through your newsletter, earning partners for your agency, for Grow Letter. Yeah, let's talk about like experience there, and maybe we can share some other examples of agencies doing it well.
Yeah, oftentimes a service-based business or an agency can be a lot better than a course, and depends on what you're optimizing for. Kieran Drew, came on the podcast a while back, has this freedom meter of where he is making money and does that give him freedom or not. And digital products for him were high on the freedom meter because he doesn't have to deliver his time to fill those things. And services were low on the freedom meter. However, if you build a true agency where you're hiring people and you have human capital, that is how you get leverage in how building a service-based business can actually give you freedom. And it can potentially create more enterprise value and freedom than a course, because if it doesn't rely on you and you build it properly, and this all takes time, but that can become an asset that you can sell. Whereas a course that's taught by you is not going to be able to be sold most of the time. And if it is going to be sold, it's going to be sold at a low multiple. So this course that I'm doing, I'm never going to be able to sell that because I'm always going to be the teacher and that's never going to change. I can't really outsource that. And I don't think many other people can either. But my agency will hopefully be an asset that I can own for a long time, or I can trade hands of it. Makes sense too. So there's a lot of pros to agencies people don't realize, and they're hard, but a lot of people kind of overlook how awesome of a business model it can be. Anyways, to get into like the marketing stuff, I think I'll just say for me, like building my email list, I'm at like 16,000 subscribers now. That's been the number one growth driver for my agency. I haven't done it in like the most optimal way to drive agency customers, but it's been a huge impact. That along with building an audience on social media. But basically I use that social media audience to funnel to the newsletter, and then the newsletter funnels them to the agency. I mean, tell me about what your philosophy is on this, and like what's maybe some examples that you see out there, Ryan, or like stuff that you're doing for your own agency or for your clients. And then I might be able to find some and share some more examples that have worked for me too.
Yeah. Well, I think that a newsletter for an agency is kind of a must, just because it provides an opportunity for you to like demonstrate your expertise, to build and nurture an audience that you own. it just opens up a lot of opportunities. And I know we just talked about courses. We've talked a lot about front-end offers in past podcasts. It kind of acts as like the central hub for all of your offers, whether that be a back-end service offer or a course. Matt, you just talked about the success that you've had selling a course through your newsletter. I've seen, you know, whether it's an agency or any other sort of niche or business, plug really effective front-end offers that new subscribers see right away. And maybe it's like a lower cost digital product that they use to qualify for service offers down the road. And so it acts as just the hub for all of your offers, and also a great opportunity to just demonstrate your expertise in the subject matter that your service is based in. So like we can think about like an agency that does Facebook ads, for example. What better way to prospect for your ideal customer or your ideal partner, and also demonstrate your expertise in Facebook ads than building a newsletter where you show great examples of Facebook ads, either that you've built or that you've found out in the wild, talking about why they're great, talking about how you would templatize that ad maybe and apply it to different industries. And then you have a bunch of marketers on your list. Maybe you sell a course on how to run Facebook ads, and then you can upsell to your actual service offer, right? Like, we'll do done for you Facebook ads for X a month. And so it's just a really great opportunity. And then on top of that, a lot of agencies have trouble, and I know that you've run paid ads for your own newsletter, Matt, and obviously you operate a ton of paid ads accounts for all sorts of newsletters. A lot of agencies have trouble effectively building paid ads funnels to their offer because it's just a really tough game to play, right? Like, you have to find somebody who's looking for that service in that moment, in the right, in the right business, in a decision-making capacity. Whereas if you run paid ads to a newsletter, suddenly acquisition for emails becomes a lot cheaper and a lot more feasible, and you're able to nurture those people over time. So even if somebody isn't in the spot to make a decision about, hey, we need to pay somebody to manage Facebook ads for us, you're top of mind, and you've also been demonstrating expertise over all this time.
That, I'm glad you brought that up, dude, because I have had that experience with my paid ads. Every time, and I've gone through periods where I've spent more on paid ads to grow my newsletter and less and zero for like multiple months. I've done all those different things. And every time I turn up the spend and start growing my newsletter faster, way more leads come in for the agency, inbound leads, and we got a lot of good leads that way. And I'm not always great at surveying client up. I can't talk today. About asking clients where they came from. I'm not always great at that, but we've had a lot come from an ad, the newsletter, and then when I see when they subscribe to the newsletter and they came from an ad, they don't always remember that far back, right? Because it's been a while since they signed up. So then they may not even remember how they found out about the newsletter, but often it's an ad. And I've had a couple really big clients, including like one of the world's most or best-selling authors in self-help, come from a Twitter ad, for example. And so it's possible to get really high quality people and really high quality clients from ads. And it's just a better funnel. I don't think running ads directly to your agency website or landing page is going to work that well for you. It's just like the CPA, the cost per lead is going to be really high. Are they going to be quality or not? But if you have a newsletter that is targeted towards your ideal customer and creates content that helps them, running an ad to that newsletter, you can achieve a CPA of $2, $3 or less. Sometimes more, but around that range. And your conversion rate to a client doesn't have to be very high. And of course, you can monetize that email list in other ways later through all the things that you just talked about. So that's good too, because you're not, when you run ads directly to your agency landing page, you probably have a really low conversion rate to actually, it's probably like 5%, 10%, maybe 20. There's so much money being wasted in that funnel. But when you bring them to your newsletter, you're converting 50, 60% or maybe a little bit less, 40% of that traffic. And so those emails are going to be value in some way to you, are going to be valuable in some way, regardless of if they become a client or not. And many of them will. So that's been my experience. And honestly, like, I almost struggle to talk about this because the funnel is not that complicated. Like, you send people into a newsletter landing page. After they subscribe, they go to a thank you page that has the normal thank you page things. And then it tells them about your agency and why you're awesome. And it has a call to action there, and they can go apply there or contact you there or set up a call there. And then every week you send them the newsletter with valuable content, And at the end of that newsletter, there's a call to action for your agency to set up a call with you. Like it's very simple. And maybe you have some automated emails and a welcome sequence, and maybe you send them case studies and client testimonials, but really it's that simple. And it's not easy, but it's not a huge complicated and time-consuming marketing process for the agency either.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to be super complicated. And if you're good at what you do from a service standpoint, then developing the content is going to be a fairly straightforward task as well. But yeah, it's so interesting. Like, for example, an example that I've seen out in the wild is like Pilot House, like their D2C newsletter. So Pilot House is like a digital marketing agency, and they have a newsletter called D2C or Direct to Consumer. And yeah, it's exactly what you would think. It's a newsletter for marketers. And I think the larger play is they're qualifying marketers at large companies to work with them, to work with Pilot House on a digital marketing kind of partnership capacity. But interestingly, something they do really well, of course, being a marketing agency, is building this funnel where I've been through the funnel. You enter your email, and then it puts you through a survey. What I think is based, because I've gotten different offers, based on how you answer that survey, they'll send you to a different front-end offer. So one front-end offer might be like a lower-priced, course. One is like a bundle of courses that's more for like enterprise-level marketers. And so they're monetizing right away. And then to your point, Matt, like the money that's being left on the table sending folks straight to an agency page or landing page versus a newsletter and capturing their email, not only do you get all the opportunities to monetize through your own products, but also like if you're building a list of marketers, that's also valuable for sponsorships, right? Like that's also good supplemental revenue there. Like I see, Pilot House is a digital marketing agency running a newsletter that's probably built for directing leads to their agency, but it's also sponsored by like Klaviyo.
I've heard they have some of the highest sponsor rates in the industry. And this is, I'm glad you brought this on. This is a really good example. It's probably one of the best examples out there. I've heard from people who like sell ads that their CPMs and CPCs are like ridiculously high. Like that they're able to charge, or their ads kind of back out to a $10 plus cost per click because they have this, they have a very valuable audience, and they have the agency services on top of that. So they built a really cool business. And there's a lot more examples of this, but also not a lot of people are doing this at a high level like they are.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. There's so much opportunity for this to be done well. And there are so many niches that, we actually mentioned in our last episode that we recorded together, the five ideas. One of them was like a media buying newsletter, right? And we're like, we haven't really seen this done. I mean, there are a few examples of it, but no one's really doing it at scale, or no one's really niched it to like certain channels yet. I mean, if you're a Twitter ads, done for you Twitter ads agency, there's a huge opportunity for you to collect the best Twitter ads that you've seen out in the wild, or Twitter ads that you're running that have performed really well, or just like insights from running those ads, and put like one tip a day, or one tip a week, I should say. A daily might be tough. One tip a week in a newsletter. And then at the end, as we've seen, I think, in a lot of folks that have products, and I know, Matt, you do this as well, just like a how I can help section at the very end. It's not super salesy. All it's saying is, hey, if you want more in-depth content, here are a few ways, or content or support or one-on-one help, here are a few ways I can help. Here's my course. Here's my front-end offer. And then here's a link to book a call if you're interested in services. And I bet that you'd get a ton of leads that way.
Yeah, the content is good. It's like the old marketing strategy, like help them by actually helping them, sell them by actually helping them. And if they like what you have to say for free, they're gonna talk to you. Do you know of any other examples? I know Bidico.com, they have an agency and they have a newsletter about ad creative. And also, this doesn't have to be for ad creative. Those are just examples that me and Ryan are familiar with, but like could be for writing, it could be for any service. It's not just media buying stuff.
I know a lot of coaches that are doing this, or people that have communities or like coaching offers. Matt Gray is a really good example of someone who does a newsletter really well and has a really great funnel. I think Justin Moore as well, right? Like who we've had on.
He has coaching and courses. He does a lot, but if he had an agency, his newsletter would be a super great acquisition funnel for that. I've talked to a lot of agency owners who have had a lot of success buying ads and other newsletters that their target customer reads to get clients. And so there's one that took my course recently that's now, they had success with that strategy. They're an eight-figure agency, and now they're starting their own newsletter to just do that themselves. Instead of renting that audience and buying it from someone else, they're just going to build themselves and use that strategy in-house. So that's another way to, another angle for the same type of strategy.
Yeah, I've had success with placements in newsletters as well. Like, it's really the only paid marketing that I've ever run for Tailwind, but we've seen good results from that as well.
Can you tell us about that a little bit? Did you have a good example you can share, or is that just kind of?
Yeah, I mean, so we ran ads in Stacked Marketer, for example, just like looking for marketers marketers in decision-making capacity that might be interested in building a newsletter for their company if their company had an email list. And so, yeah, we ran some ads in Stacked Marketer and, I mean, got great leads from it. And so, yeah, it was on a cost per lead basis, turned out really well for us. So I do think that, you know, it makes sense especially given the fact that, I would say most even small to medium-sized agencies like have usually some sort of a monthly retainer. So from an economic standpoint, like, you can make it back out if you have good copy, if the newsletter is targeting the right niche. So it's definitely worth testing, I would say.
Interesting. And we should mention that your agency does this for a lot of people. You do done for your newsletters, Tailwind Studios. It's tailwindstudio.co. What's the URL again?
Yeah, tailwindstudio.co. Yeah. And I mean, that's the reason, I think, in large part too, also why one of the more recent learnings is that I think it works really well for agencies just because it backs out well, right? Like, if you can create a list that generates leads for you on a regular basis and qualified leads, and also gives you an opportunity to monetize in all these different ways. Yeah, like we work with all sorts of folks, but it works really well for agencies.
I love it. That's a good example. All right, we got to wrap it up in a second, but before we do, we got a little giveaway we're doing for the listeners. So here's how this is going to work. We want to grow the podcast. I don't know how many episodes we're at now, but we're putting episodes out every week on a consistent basis now, and we'd love you to help us grow if you like the podcast. So what we're going to do is, if you listen on Apple or Spotify and you leave a 5-star review, we're going to do a little Q&A hangout session with me and Ryan for everyone who leaves a review on Apple or Spotify and just sends us that review as proof. And then you're going to have to do two steps. So leave a review on Apple or Spotify, whichever one of your choosing, and then subscribe to the YouTube channel. And then send us a screenshot of both of those actions. And you should email that screenshot to matt@newsletteroperator.co. We'll put it in the podcast description too, but that's where you're going to email those screenshots. So if you do that, once we reach 100 five-star reviews on Apple, 100 five-star reviews on Spotify, and 1,000 YouTube subscribers, we're going to do the live session. We might do multiple live sessions too. And if you send us those screenshots, you'll be invited to those. So that is how you do it. Right now, the YouTube channel is under Matt McGarry, so you have to search Newsletter Operator or Matt McGarry on YouTube, and you can go subscribe there.
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, we'll just be able to hop into a call, just answer a bunch of questions, provide as much value as possible to all the folks in there. So really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I always enjoy doing these and talking to y'all more. So leave your review. We really appreciate it. It helps us reach more people. We don't really monetize this podcast, so this is a huge way you can help us. We really appreciate it. But yeah, that's a wrap. Let me know anything else, Ryan, and then we'll wrap it up.
No, all good, but always good to catch up.
Okay. Thanks, man.